Meryl.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
All three.
I agree. You're the only one on.
Oh, well.
Oh, wait. There's somebody else.
Marco.
We came on the same time.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
And there's three of you on now, so we can begin.
Okay.
I got to figure out.
I got to close my door, too, because it may be in and out.
Okay.
Okay.
I do have an apology to make to, I believe, all of you, but I fell asleep and lost track of the time, so I do apologize for this morning.
Not needed. Apology
well,
not needed. We're glad you got the rest.
It was a hectic weekend, as I'm sure it was for everyone, so.
I'm still recovering.
So I will start. We are starting on class number 30 on the Advanced Reincarnation landing page. So you'll find that on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11. Second column from the left. And that will open up to the landing page for the Advanced Reincarnation classes. Scroll down to class number 30, and there's only one link under that. Then it opens up to chapter 31, section 4. The title is More About the Shoulders of Adam. And we'll start with a L'shem Yehud.
Do you mind repeating that? Because that wasn't what I had. Let me write it real quick and I'll look for it.
Chapter 31, section 4. What did you have?
I had chapter 30, section 2, but I was unsure because it looked like you had, you know, you were working on several things.
Right. That's the one from a few weeks ago. Last week we did section 3.
Okay,
so
I have
recording.
Okay. Yes, I see that. Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and mute for a little while, and then I'll come back.
All right. You want us to wait, or do you want me to start?
Oh, I'm just going to find it on the computer, so.
Okay.
Okay. I just don't want to make noise and it be picked up.
Not a problem. So we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabri hu ishkin te bit hilu ur himu ut hilu ut hilu ur himu. L'yakka l'shem yud he bavav he. Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La'asok Torah Mitzvah. Vayehino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kodanei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kodaneihu. More about the shoulders of Adam. And giving you a very short recap. The shoulders of Adam are the children, Cain and Abel. So the souls of Cain and the souls of Abel represent the left and right shoulder of the soul of Adam. And now he's going to give us some additional information. I will now further explain the two shoulders of Adam. It has already been made known how Netzach and Hod, Avatik Yomim, are clothed within Chesed and Givurah, the two arms of Arichanpin. After that, the two arms of Arichanpin are in turn clothed in the two Mochin, Chachma and Bina, of Abba and Bima. What this paragraph, this is unwritten commentary, what this paragraph is explaining is how the different levels of consciousness enwrap themselves around deeper levels of consciousness. And all of these levels are considered the unconscious. And they're really talking about the deepest levels of the unconscious. Continuing to read. The two shoulders of Arich are clothed within the dot of Zeranpin, which divides into two crowns called Chesed and Givurah. From them flows Or Makif to the Nukva of Zeranpin. All of this language is Kabbalistic language. Or Makif is surrounding light. The Nukva is the structure of 10 Sephirot associated with Malchut. And Zeranpin is associated with the male of the emotions. It's associated with the male, but it's also associated with the emotions, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. So what this paragraph is explaining is that what's going to happen in your life is going to come from the Or Makif, the surrounding light. And that surrounding light comes from the Malchut of Zeranpin. Continuing. It is also known that Atik Yomin also only has 9 Sephirot, which in the Zohar, in the Parsha of Noah, are called Tisha Hechalin, the 9 chambers, as it is explained at the beginning of the Idra Zuta. That's the small assembly. Now, the small assembly is the last day of Rabbi Shimon's life. And it's built into, in the Zohar, it's built into the Parsha of Hazinu. The level of Malchut is not mentioned at all with respect to Atik Yomin. Therefore, the only Malchut mentioned is with respect to the Sephirah of Hod, because the male side is Netzach and the female side is Hod. The Hod of Atik Yomin is clothed in the Givurah of Arichanpin, which is its left shoulder. It is called the crown of Givurah. In the secret of Ateret Ba'alah, the crown of her husband, because that is where Malchut is alluded to as mentioned. From this we see that a spark of light flows from this left shoulder, acts as an Or Makif for the Nukva of Zeranpin. Therefore the root of Cain, which is from the side of the Nukva of Zeranpin, grasps onto the left shoulder of Adam. However, the right shoulder is from the Netzach of Atik Yomin, and within it is the secret of Zeranpin, the male aspect. Therefore, the root of Abel is in the right shoulder of Adam. It is already known that Malchut can ascend to the male place in the secret of Ateret Ba'alah, specifically on the level of Or Makif. With this, you can appreciate the greatness of the left shoulder of Adam. This point is brought out in order to fully appreciate the Mashiach root. And my commentary. The gist of this section is that the sole root of Abel is the right shoulder of Adam, while the root of Cain is the left shoulder of Adam. Which is higher? It is the left shoulder. And this is what this section is attempting to explain, which it does not do well, in my opinion. Remember the Midrash that teaches that Moshe did not want to be the shepherd of Israel and spoke to Hashem about Rabbi Akiva teaching about the crowns of the letters that Moshe could not understand. Yet Moshe was satisfied that the role of shepherd was his, since Rabbi Akiva taught that the teachings about the crowns came directly from Moshe at Sinai. From this we learn that the higher soul root is Akiva, yet it still does not explain why this is so. Elsewhere it is taught that the name Akiva comes from the root of Ekev, which is the heel, and we know from the breaking of the vessels that the farther something falls into the klipot, the higher is its light and its potential. And that is the end of the subject, the end of the section. I'm sure you have questions. No questions. Nobody wants to unmute, so I'm going to go forward. Subdivision of roots. Chapter 31, Section 5. The idea of the 248 limbs was explained to me in this way. All souls are included in Adam and divide into many roots. All souls are included in Adam and divide into many roots as follows. In the beginning, they divide into the three forefathers. After that, into the 12 tribes, and then into the 70 souls. After that, up to 600,000 small roots, all of which are included in Adam. Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto explains that after the original sin, the privilege of starting the nation that would be responsible for the rectification process was up for grabs. There were previous tzaddikim, but only Abraham took full responsibility and accepted this yoke upon himself and his children. This is a teaching from the Sefer Derech Hashem, which has been translated into English. It was written by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. Continuing, we do not call anyone patriarchs except for three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The founding fathers all operated out of the highest world, Atzilut, the root and spark dynamics of Jacob. The culmination of their efforts is the choice of the patriarchs, this is from the Zohar, and completely fixed the original sin on the level of Atzilut. The next step in the rectification process was to draw the efforts of the patriarchs a rung down into Briah. This was a task of Jacob's children, the 12 tribes. The following step was to expand the tikkun of the tribes to the seven lower sephirot of Yetzirah. And this was the job of the 70 souls that the tribal clans branched out into. The 70 souls were the 70 men appointed to the Sanhedrin, when Hashem transferred some aspects of the soul of Moses to the 70 leaders within the tribes, and these 70 leaders became the Sanhedrin, but they also became prophets. And if you'll remember, there was also a discussion in the Torah of how there were 72. There was a 70 people who became prophets, but then also there were two people prophesying also. One of their names is Medad. I forget the other one's name, but it rhymes with, it's Eldad and Medad. So there are actually 72 roots. And that applies to the 72 nations, where we always talk about the 70 nations being the seven lower Sephirot times 10 Sephirot within each of them. But there are two additional nations, and there's discussion whether those two additional nations are the children of Israel as one of them, and Edom is the other, or whether it's Ishmael as one of the nations, and Edom or the children of Israel as the other. And so it is rather confusing because it's essentially giving us 73 nations. And if you ever look at the chart that's built into most of the art scroll, Chumashim and Tanakh, that chart, I've never counted them, but I'm told that there are only 70 nations listed, and the children of Israel are not included in that chart, although the 12 tribes are. So it becomes very confusing how to follow this. If you try to name the 70 nations from that chart, you get confused because you need to either name 72 or 73 nations. And you'll only find 70 nations on the chart. So I'm explaining my confusion to you, which means that eventually it will become clear because I'm asking the question, which is the correct 72 nations. But to help you understand this conflict, we know the 72 nations, the number 72 relates to the level of Chochmah, as its gematria on the spelled out name of Hashem is 72. But Chesed is the gematria 72. And Chochmah has a gematria of 73. So I think you will find that the ultimate answer, and this is just an opinion and a guess, the ultimate answer is that there are 73 nations. The last paragraph before the bold is, the succeeding rung was to draw everything to the lowest of worlds, to the world of Asiyah. The 70 exploded into 600,000 souls who took upon themselves this task. And these are the male souls, or the total male and female souls of the children of Israel. But at the time when you had these 600,000 souls, they were all over the age of 20. And there were children below the age of 20. So how do we understand those souls of the children, which became the next generation? So one generation left Egypt, and 40 years later, a second generation went into Egypt. So are they the same souls that having been reincarnated? And how do we understand that there were souls that were in the older generation and in the younger generation at the same moment? And that's where you begin to get the understanding, and it's just a hint at this point, you begin to get the understanding of why the second reincarnation of any person, they cannot bring their original nefesh. They have to have the nefesh of the ger, of the stranger, or the convert, depending on your point of view. Continuing to read. So the 600,000 souls who accepted the task of correcting the sin of Adam in all of the worlds, they started in Egypt, and by the time they stood at Mount Sinai to receive the Torah, they were perfect. And this is a teaching from the Talmud in the section of called Shabbat. But this is someone's commentary. It's not in bold. So it's an indication that the commentary is the translators. And it may or may not be true. Continuing to read. The sin of the golden calf disturbed the whole tikkun. The sin of the golden calf disturbed the whole tikkun. The 600,000 come back repeatedly to fix it, little by little in each generation. The right shoulder of Adam divides, as said, first into three forefathers, then into 12 tribes, and after that into 70 souls. Each of the 70 small roots is an individual root from the grand roots of Adam. However, there are only 70 small roots in him, and all of them together are the partsuf of a single person. After this, the 70 roots divide up into 600,000 soul sparks. They are not called roots, but are called sparks. Each of the 70 small roots of the right shoulder we are discussing has one complete partsuf. And all of the 600,000 sparks of this right shoulder are one large root of Adam, called after Abel, the son of Adam. It is the same with the left shoulder of Adam. Three forefathers divide into 12 tribes, and then into 70 souls, which are called the 70 small roots. And these 70 roots also divide into 600,000 sparks, which are not called roots. And each of these 70 roots is a complete partsuf. And all of them are called the root of Cain, the son of Adam. Are you getting the idea of why there's now 7 billion people on the earth? From one of these 70 roots came Rabbi Akiva, Akavia ben Mehalalel, and King Heskia, as mentioned previously. The root divides into more than 613 sparks, all of which make up one complete partsuf. And from the partsuf of this root comes King Heskia. Rabbi Akiva and Akavia ben Mehalalel. However, King Heskiahu, or King Heskia, is from the head of this partsuf, and Akiva and Akavia ben Mehalalel are from the heel of this partsuf. Coming from the head, he is king Akiva, like Jacob, suggests Akiv, the heel. Jacob comes from the heel and thereby infiltrates and subjugates Esau. The source of all this is found by what God said to the snake. He, man, shall smite you on the head, and you shall smite him on the heel. And his, Jacob's hand, holds on to the heel of Esau. Jacob comes from the heel and thereby infiltrates and subjugates Esau, the snake, on his own territory. Rabbi Akiva continued this dynamic. Therefore, he was born of converts, just as Jacob's outstanding quality is Torah. It empowers to subdue all the negative forces. When we finish this section, I don't remember if I included the footnote or not. Continuing. In the humble opinion of Chaim, based upon what we are now saying, that's Chaim Vital, the son of Rabbi This Chaim is Rabbi Chaim Vital, who is the one student that the Ari came into the world to teach. And he is the one who wrote down his teachings and then buried them so no one would have them because they needed to be concealed. And then his son went back, received instructions in a dream, I believe, went back and unburied them. And then that's where we have the teachings of the Ari. So continuing. In the humble opinion of Chaim, based upon what we are now saying and what was said in the previous discussion, we find that this root mentioned is on the level of the heel of the general's shoulder, which is one of the 70 roots of Cain. The head of the heel is Heskiah. And the end of this heel, that is the heel of the heel, is Rabbi Akiva and Akavia. However, in the previous discussion, we explained that the souls included in Adam divide into 613 large roots, and after that into 600,000 small roots. Here we are explaining that it occurs in another way, that they are three forefathers that divide into 12 tribes and then 70 souls only, and after that into 600,000 small roots. However, if we look closely, we see that it results in the same conclusion, and you will see how the Tariyat, the 613 mitzvahs, divide into 600,000. If you take the 12 dividing into 70 or to 72, it's being multiplied by 6. 6 times 12 is 70, or 72 actually. So how do you relate the 72 souls into the smaller roots of 600,000? If you divide 72 into 613, you'll find that you need to multiply by something around 15. So I do not understand this particular paragraph, how to explain it. Continuing to read. For the letters TR from Tariyat, which is Taf and Resh equals 600 and can be rendered TR Ribui, 60 myriads. The letter Yud hints to the level of the 70 souls, because the six extremities correspond to the 60 myriads, as is known. This paragraph is trying to explain how you go from 12 tribes to 72 souls to 600,000 or 613,000 souls. And you always have to realize the Torah is very accurate. So why would we be saying 70 when it's 72 or 73? And that is a question that needs to be answered that I have never seen an answer or heard an answer. If you add what Yud, which is 10, to 60, you arrive at the number 70. That is, the 70 souls are coming from the Yud. And the letters Yud Gimel, which is 13, are the 12 tribes with one extra that unifies them. And this is how Taryag includes all of the parts. If you contemplate these three or four paragraphs, you will be able to understand it, but whether you will be able to understand it well enough to explain it to someone else remains to be seen. I have not yet reached that understanding. I do understand it. I feel I understand it, but I can't explain it in a logical, mathematical sequence. But the word Taryag has a gematria of 613. It's Taf, which is 400, Resh, which is 200, Yud, which is 10, and Gimel, which is 3. The wisdom of gematria, Kabbalistic numerology, teaches that after the calculation of the value of a word, one extra can always be added. It represents the surrounding energy that encompasses the specific energies of the totality. Now, I'm going to try and explain that paragraph to you in terms that are reasonable. You've heard me mention many times, and in the writings of the Ari, it's quite frequent, it's called a kolel. It's adding one that represents the unity of the number that is being represented, that the one is being added to. As in this case, there are 12 tribes, but we add a kolel for the 13th. But in reality, there are 13 tribes. Just as the Hebrew astrology was based on 12 astrological signs, but today, the sidereal astrology is showing us the 13th. But if you count the number of tribes, you will find that there are 13 suns. Because Joseph, as the firstborn, gets a double portion. So Joseph was replaced by the two, Menasha and Ephraim. But what is left out is the tribe of Levi, which the Levites became the priests, or they became both sections of the Levite tribe, the Kohanim, the priests, and the others all worked in the temple. The tribe of Levi was Jacob's tithing of his 12 sons. One was given to the service of God in the temple. But the Kollel has very definite rules that can be followed. You cannot just make up your mind and say, oh, it's okay to add one, as this paragraph says. That's not correct. There are definite rules. And there are times when you will add one for each letter in the word. And at other times, you will only add one for the whole word. But the rules are very explicit. They have not been translated to my understanding. But they are written in a essay in Hebrew by one of the sages about 1,200 or 1,300 years ago. So I'm continuing to read. The idea here is that teriyag, the amount of God-given mitzvot, is a universal concept that encompasses all of the souls, and accordingly all of existence, which is made for the souls. There's just one problem that is not being addressed in this paragraph or in this essay. The number of letters in the Esser Dibrot, the 10 utterances, is 620, not 613. And there is a mitzvah for each of those letters. And so the sages explain that there are seven rabbinic mitzvot. They do not come directly from the Torah. And those seven get added to the 613. So there are always 620 mitzvot. 620 is the gematria of the word keter. As we know, Keter is the highest sephirah. Keter is the crown. Keter is the sephirah that includes everything. So every other sephirah, every other level of consciousness is included in the consciousness of the highest level, the Keter. The crown. And the reason that the word crown is used is because it's not part of the body. It's outside of the body. It rests on the head. And then you get to the question, is Queen Elizabeth the queen when she's not wearing her crown? And the way that's explained is if you take a seed and you bury it in the ground, and then a few weeks or months later, you get something that comes up out of the ground where you planted the seed. And if you dig up that ground at that moment, you can't find the seed. It's disappeared. But the roots are growing down and the stem is growing up. And they are all included in the keter, in the crown, in the seed. Returning to the topic of Cain and Abel, the two crowns are the crown of Chesed and the crown of Givurah, which are hidden within Abba and Ima. Remember, Abba and Ima are partsufim, that spaces. A partsuf is a structure of 10 sephirot. A complete structure of 10 sephirot includes the crown, which is outside of the body. And that's what this is explaining. that there is a crown associated with the left shoulder and a crown associated with the right shoulder. And they are Abba and Ima, the Partsufim, the structure of 10 Sephirot. Adam and Eve are Abba and Ima. They each have 10 Sephirot. And so Abel is the crown of Chesed, while Cain is the crown of Givurah. My teacher also organized the soul roots for me in another way. We already explained that a person has a nefesh from Asiya, a ruach from Yetzirah, a neshama from Bria, a nefesh from the nukva of Atzilut, and a ruach from the zeranpin of Atzilut, a neshama from Bina of Atzilut, and the soul of the soul called Chaya from Abba of Atzilut, and Yechidah from Keter, which is called Arishanpin of Atzilut. And from this paragraph, you get the understanding, or you're able to extrapolate the understanding. In modern Hebrew, everyone is called a neshama. Every time they use the word soul in Hebrew or in the descriptions, they talk about neshama. In fact, I had a discussion with an Orthodox rabbi who didn't study Kabbalah, didn't want to study Kabbalah, but he was troubled because in his worldview, he was speaking about a person's soul, and he said there can only be one soul in the body, and this is not what we have been learning from the Ari. So I entered into a discussion with him, and Paul gave him my source, and he did his own research. But he still is uncomfortable with the idea that there can be Iburs, pregnant souls, who are in the body with the main reincarnated soul. And what we get from this paragraph, which is what I'm trying to explain, is not every human being has a neshama. And what the teachings of the Orthodox world is that the Jewish soul is a neshama. But what this paragraph is explaining, not every Jewish person has a neshama, because the neshama they're referring to is this neshama from Bina of Atzilut. Continuing. Every root from the roots of the soul has a portion of these levels. However, this is how the division of the soul roots takes place. To begin with, they divide into five roots: Arishanpin, Abba and Ima, Zeranpin, and Nukva. These are Partsufim, meaning they have a structure of 10 Sephirot. When the world was created, these five roots divided into Zehira Ila'a of Adam, which Hanoch later merited. This is the level of Arishanpin. Adam also took the level of Abba and Ima, level of Abba, and Eve that of Ima. Abel received Zeranpin, and Cain the Nukva. It would have been preferable that Abel, who is Zeranpin, be born before Cain, who is the Nukva. Therefore, it would have been preferable that Abel, who is Zeranpin, be born before Cain, who is the Nukva. However, when Adam sinned, he caused the intermingling of good and evil, causing a defect, the result of which was Cain being born before Abel. And this is explained in the Sha'ar HaPsukim, the Gate of Verses, on the verse, chapter 4, verse 1 of Genesis. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. Look over there. Yeah, and the Gate of Verses is one of the eight gates that consist of the writings of Rabbi Chaim Vital, expressing the teachings of the Ari. And to my knowledge, only parts of the verses have been translated, because I've never seen the full translation of the Gate of Verses. All the rest of the souls of the world that are born from these five roots are in the world of Atzilut. The rest of the souls, however, are born from the five roots of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. For in each world there are five roots. All of them are secondary to the roots of Atzilut, and they follow after them and are included in them, in the same way that all the souls of the world are rooted in these five roots. Each root divides into 10 sephirot, resulting in 50 roots in each world. The 50 that are in Atzilut are the root of everything. These 50 roots divide even further, which we will explain elsewhere. Every root from the roots of the souls include one complete parsuf, composed of 248 limbs and 365 tendons, which incorporates the 613 sparks. Though combined, they are a complete partsuf of one soul, with all its parts, a single root. However, specifically, they are 613 sparks, which are Torah scholars. There are also many sparks in every root that are Amei Haaretz, ignoramuses, uneducated, who work in the dwelling places of the world. For every root is like a tree that produces fruit, which are the scholars, and leaves, branches, wood, peels, etc., which are the Am Haaretzim, is the way I would pluralize it. The Am Haaretz is the people of the earth, is a literal translation, but it's an idiom that represents ignoramuses. It represents uneducated and ignorant. My commentary. This section is explaining the hierarchy of souls by name and family relationship. This means that the world of Atzilut, we start with Adam. This world includes all other souls that will ever come into the earth. Next, we have Cain and Abel, which are lower than Adam, but so high that we count them as the same level. Thus, we have three columns, which represent the three patriarchs from the world of Atzilut. Next, in the world of Briah, we have the 12 tribes. Jacob corrected the world of Atzilut and provides the potential to correct the world of Briah through the 12 tribes. Within the 12 tribes, we have the 70 elders, which represent the potential tikkunim, or correction, of the world of Yetzirah. Finally, all other people have the potential to correct in concert with each other the world of Asiyah, our physical world. In our generation, who are these 70 elders is a question I am asking. There are many people who have split and made mistakes that we cannot know or understand. In effect, it is people who on the outside are similar to everyone else, while on the inside, they are potentially higher than everyone else. The same is true for the 12 tribes and for the three patriarchs. I did include the footnotes. There were two footnotes. The first one, Issachar, who is further from this root, is outstandingly marked in the Torah. Issachar is one of the 12 tribes, but his tribe was noted for its membership in the Sanhedrin in the 70, but his tribe was also noted for its outstanding Torah scholarship and its ability to calculate the timing of the new moons. And the second footnote, from this lowest of the low, heel of the heel dynamic, it ascends to the highest of the high. So Rabbi Akiva ascended to the very original movement of Genesis. Also, the doors of the Azara, the temple courtyard, never closed on such an outstanding individual in Torah and the fear of sin as Akavia, which is the third person mentioned in this section. That is the end of the section 5. It's the end of our class. We have a few minutes for questions. So, does anybody have any questions? I hope you're unmuting your phones.
I have a question, but I don't know if it's applicable to this. But I was skimming the Zohar portions, the last few that were on the website yesterday, and while I was printing, so you have a tendency just to kind of read a few as you're going. And it had to do with Memtet. And I had the thought that perhaps Memtet could really go all the way back to Adam. And when I saw what you just said in your commentary, this section is explaining the hierarchy of souls by name and family relationship. This means that in the world of Absolute, we start with Adam. So everything goes back to Adam, naturally. You know, we know that. This world, but man, because that was the reason Hashem created the earth. This world includes all other souls that will ever come into the earth. So when we get to the Zohar, if we get that far, or maybe question and answer time, I just wonder if, in that frame of reference of those verses, if Memtet could possibly be a code word for Adam.
No, and I will explain why now, so okay, that you take the thought and you don't get sidetracked by the thought.
Okay.
In Rabbi Ashlag's 10 Luminous Emanations, he teaches in section 3, he teaches that the way that as you progress either up or down, as you go from one world to the next world, there must be a creature, there must be an essence that has aspects of both worlds. And in that section, he describes in the world of inanimate objects, there is an essence that has the nature of an inanimate object, but also the nature of a plant. And in our physical world, that is the coral reefs, because they are plants living in the water and procreating and eating and doing everything. But as they die, they create this barrier that's inanimate. The reef itself is inanimate. So the barrier reef has aspects of plants, which is the next higher world, and the inanimate world. It then explains that there is a dog in Australia, and I've never verified this, but there's a dog in Australia that has an umbilical cord. So the umbilical cord is planted in the ground, and the range of the dog can only range as far as the umbilical will stretch. But it feeds from the umbilical, gaining nutrients out of the ground. But it has mobility like an animal. And that represents the transition from the plant world to the animal world. But in another sense, plants follow the sun. They do move as the sun crosses the sky, but they don't really move from the ground, so it's not considered movement. But both of those discussions represent the concept of a transition from the plant to the animal world. Then from the animal world to the human world, which is called the speaking world, you have the monkey, is the way it's defined and expressed. The monkey mimics the human being, but it's not a full language. They can speak, they have vocal cords, and they have ways of communicating with those sounds. But it's not a complete language, it's limited. But they have aspects of animal, and they have aspects of speaking. But now it actually goes even further, because there's another world beyond the human, which is the angelic world. And the angelic world are higher than humans are in our current level of tikkun. Ultimately, humans are expected to grow and be higher than the angels. But what is that aspect? What is that entity that will be the transition from the angel to the human? And that is where we get the teaching that Hanoch ben Yared, who walked with God until God took him at the age of 365, his soul went and merged with the archangel Michael, the highest archangel of the four that we always talk about, Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, and I forget the fourth.
Raphael.
Thank you. Raphael. So, and if you look at what Michael represents, Chesed, and he represents the high priest. Gabriel represents judgment. Uriel represents, the one you mentioned, which is, shows you where I have a mental block against healing.
Well, Raphael
because
is healing.
Raphael is healing, right. And
okay.
Then Uriel represents light, because his name has that essence.
Yeah.
Translation of Uriel is light of God. But these four, four archangels, the highest one is Michael. And now if you mix the soul of Hanoch ben Yared into Michael's angelic realm, that's where you get the transition from the human being to the angel, or from the angel up to the human being when it's corrected. So when you say Memtet, Memtet is a description of the mixture of Hanoch ben Yared with the angelic realm of Mikhail. And so Memtet is the ultimate highest level of archangel. But he really is that transition to the highest level that the human being will achieve after the tikkun.
Okay, one other little comment that when you said that, while I was cooking for Thanksgiving, I happened to look up from my sink. I can see the television across the open area. And they were showing a picture of a fish that they discovered that had the face of a human. So I didn't have the voice on. And but that was this week.
Not surprising, and also you have to be very wary and consider that this is a fake. But if it's not a fake, the idea would be that the fish is an animal, but it's an animal who is constantly surrounded by chesed, because water is chesed, constantly surrounded by loving consciousness. And so there would need to be a transition in the frame of animals and in the frame of ocean life, of water life. So it's very possible that is a true transition species. Why we are finding it now is as we're getting closer to the end times, or we're in the end times, we're getting closer to the manifestation of the Mashiach, that all of these scientific discoveries are going to relate to these things, but it's going to be presented in ways that it's not Kabbalistic, because even most Jewish people do not know what I just explained to you in the transition from one world to another.
Well, I remember I didn't remember where, but you said Eliminus in the Nations, section 3. And I'll be on the lookout for this little, my thought was possibly it was a Zadokim who was waiting to be caught.
And the only place you will find Rabbi Ashlag's teachings. The Kabbalah Center has translated sections 1 and 2, and they've issued soft cover pamphlets. I haven't seen them listed recently, but they never went forward and translated chapter 3.
Okay.
My training was to listen to Rabbi Berg's lectures. He would give lectures for probably 15 years at 5 a.m. And they were called the 10 Luminous Emanations lectures. And basically, my study of Kabbalah comes from those. And so I remember it was in section 3, which he had said that had not been translated. But he only went as high as section 5. There are 16 sections in the writings of Rabbi Ashlag. The only other place is on the B'nai Baruch website. They have translated more of that, but I'm not sure how far their translation has gone. I have started to use that when I teach the 10 Luminous Emanations, but I've never gotten really past the introduction.
Okay, well, I thought you were referring to your handouts. So I'm glad you made that distinction. Thank you.
I was referring to the book, 10 Luminous Emanations. The Hebrew is the Esther Sefirot, is the title of the book. It's the writings by Rabbi Ashlag. And there are 16 sections. And it's essentially taking the book Etz Chaim, which you know from the writings of the of the Ari and Rabbi Chaim Vital. Etz Chaim is structured in a way that is not logical, not rational, and it's confusing as it you jump from one subject to the next and back and forth, and it's very difficult to follow. In fact, the Kabbalists actually, all they do is tell their students, memorize these words. And that is what makes you a Kabbalist. If you memorize the words, you don't have to understand them, because nobody understands them, but memorize them. That's not what the Kabbalah Center said, but that's what I have heard from most of the other teachers of the previous generation. And what the whole idea, Rabbi Ashlag reordered the teachings of the Ari into the, you start at the beginning and you, and the beginning is in the world of Atzilut, the beginning is in create at the moment of creation, and he's over 16 sections. I don't call them chapters, but they're called sections. Over these 16 sections, he evolves down from the spiritual highest levels to the physical manifestation in the physical world. But there is a section, the fifth chapter, the fifth section, it's titled Mati Velo Mati, which is Aramaic for there is something and there is nothing. And it's describing how, as part of this process of moving from the world of Atzilut to the world of Briah, you have to go through this period where it appears and it disappears, but it's still there. And that chapter is extremely difficult. The way the Rabbi Berg and Rabbi Ashlag, Rabbi Brandwein, that this, the three of them explained it in all of their writings, is if you can understand this concept, if you are open enough to accept that it's there and not there at the same moment, that you can become a Kabbalist. But if you are unable to make that transition in section 5, you will always be a student of Kabbalah. And it is very difficult for people to make that transition. And you know I call myself a student of Kabbalah.
And I'll call myself a kindergarten student of Kabbalah. Anyway.
No, I think you're in second grade.
I'm sorry, I buddy in again.
That's all right. Go ahead. I shouldn't have said what I said anyway. I was making a joke. But
okay.
You're more than a kindergartner, I can tell you that.
Well, I had a little bitty simple example. I was going through some papers today, and I found our address of what we were living in Modi'in, and you know how that's one of the things that we use for our tikkun. But I happened to notice a different zip code, I guess. And so I went ahead and put it in my notes on my phone, you know, the little app that says notes. And when I went to spell Modi'in, the envelope only had one D, and I knew that it was spelled with two D's. And so I went to put in the two D's, and the computer just, well, the phone just automatically separated mode and in. You know, artificial intelligence trying to do the thinking for you. And that was kind of an example of, to me, you know, we know when we have a dogesh and a letter that it's doubled, but they don't always spell it doubled, you know, right. When they translate it, you know. So that's kind of an example of it being there and not being there. It's
very good, and that is a good example. A more traditional example is the white spaces between the letters on the parchment of the Torah.
Right. Yep, we know all those vavs are there.
All those vavs are there. And also the idea of when you see an aleph, there's also a lamed and a pei, but you're not seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this was a deep lesson. I have to read it about 50 times.
I do understand that, and if we need to go over it again, we can. But listen to the recording, because I did give you a lot of information.
Right at the beginning, I had two phone calls. So, people think if you take Shabbat off, that you're hopefully, you can be contacted on Sunday. And so that's when they call or they come. Anyway, thank you. That was a good list.
Does anybody else have any questions, as well as Hannah may have some more?
No, that's all for me. Thank you.
Shalom gadol to all. Have a beautiful week. Shavua tov.
Okay, Shavua tov. Bye, everybody.